It's a new day, a new month, and a brand new season of the Next Big Thing podcast. So excited to have you guys here as listeners. Thank you for being patient as I step away and get some work done. I'm, of course, naturally very excited about this new season. You might have also noticed that there is some new branding. So thank you, Gabriella, for creating an amazing new brand for the Next Big Thing podcast. It was time. It felt like it was time. So I reached out to Gabriella and she pulled together what I think looks like amazing new branding. So thank you for your help. And thanks to you guys as listeners for being here and sticking it out. Before we get into today's guest, I do want to preface the season by saying that our episodes are going to be a little bit shorter, and I just want to do that to maximize time. So instead of talking for an hour and a half, I'm keeping it to 20 and 30 minutes. I want it to be scrappy, smart takeaways that you can listen to while you're going for a walk and capture a bunch of good stuff in a short amount of time. So if you're wondering why the episodes are shorter, that's intentional. Now, I am so excited to introduce today's guest. Her name is Lauren Devane. She is the founder of the Bemused Studio. Lauren and I worked together. Well, we've known each other for about 10 years, and we worked together at Walgreens Corporate about 10 years ago, I'd say, maybe. And she was in the graphic design team. I was on the social media team, and we worked really closely on social media graphics for Walgreens Social. From there, Lauren went to go work at Ulta, and she's just done amazing things with her career, and now she's the founder of her own graphic design business. Now, you guys might have seen a lot of news lately about AI tools. Ever since ChatGPT has come around, a lot of people have just been inundated with AI conversations. We're not trying to make today one of those types of conversations. We want this to be valuable to you. What I think is so cool with what Lauren's doing with her business is she's using AI to her benefit and teaching other designers, marketers, entrepreneurs, business owners, how they too can use AI to their benefit. And one way she's doing that is by using a platform called Midjourney. Midjourney is a newer AI tool that will actually produce images for you based on different prompts that you type in. It's very cool. I've tested it out to create some product photography shots, and it's done a great job. But I wanted to have Lauren on the podcast today because she's really on the cutting edge of graphic design and AI. We talk a lot about Midjourney today and how she is using AI as a tool for her benefit and how other people can do the same. And I'm so inspired by that. She is also going to talk about why there are concerns around the ethics of AI, why there are certain apprehensions about AI, especially when it comes to graphic designers, and how we can look at AI differently to make it work for us. I've always really admired Lauren's growth mindset. She has a really positive outlook on AI, and I think it's just infectious when you listen to this conversation that you too can walk away thinking, wow, I can actually use this in my business and have it save me time, have it save me money. I don't have to hire someone to do this. I could actually produce AI-generated content and images that work for my brand. And it's truly, it's really mind-blowing. And I'm just excited for this conversation. I know there's a lot of just general concern about AI, and I acknowledge that completely. But I do think there is this other side of it too, where we can learn to embrace what AI can do for all of us. So let's get into this episode. I'm so excited for you guys to hear from Lauren, and I'll catch you on the flip side. So tell me about your company. Tell everyone about your company and what you do.
Oh, man. Okay. So my company is the Bemused Studio, and we are, and by we, I mean I am a company of one, but I am a designer, creative director, strategist, consultant coach. This is kind of a, what's the word for, I'm going to say it wrong, an amalgamation. What's that word where it's like,
Yeah.
Okay. Of just kind of everything that I've been able to learn and explore in my like last 15 years, I feel like being, you know, a creative in the industry. The past 2 years we've been doing design and branding for small women-owned businesses. But, you know, as I've grown and as I've attracted a community of designers on Instagram, I've learned that, you know, there are a lot of young designers that are starting out that don't have, you know, the direction or mentorship or steps to really build their creative dreams. And so I'm kind of seeing that with my elderliness of the, is that the right word? Elderliness?
Just no. Being elderly. Just being old.
Being
an elder.
Yeah. Being old. having 15 years of doing this, you know, I've found that I think I have a lot of the skills to help these people. And so that's kind of where I'm trying to direct Bemused, whether it is, you know, helping designers with templates or, you know, creative review sessions, one-on-one creative review sessions to help them, you know, develop their craft, because I think it's really important to, you know, I was lucky enough to have a mentor at both of my previous, you know, I was at Walgreens and Ulta, and I had a creative director that, you know, was a great mentor for me. And so I know the benefits of having that. And I think so many designers just jump right in and have no experience really, and don't have the feedback to really help them develop their skills as a designer. And so I think it's, you know, a benefit that they could have someone to be able to guide them when they're doing their own thing, because I think there's so many designers that have the skills and the vision to do it. They just need some guidance. And so that's kind of where I'm trying to take things. But then on top of all that, you know, I am really starting to get into the AI space. I've always been very super interested in emerging tech and all of the tools that designers and creative entrepreneurs can use for their businesses. And so, you know, I am seeing the major benefits in the AI space right now. And so I want to start, you know, helping other creatives and business owners see the benefits as well. And, you know, help people understand that it's a tool for hopefully more good. But, you know, there's always going to be bad that's going to come with any sort of tech or tool. So we just have to kind of see how things play out. But right now I see it as, you know, be on the front of things rather than running behind trying to catch up. So
I think something that I've known about you for your career, really, since I've known you, which is like, what, I don't know, 10 years at this point, maybe, you've always been on the cutting edge and you have a lot of curiosity. And I think there is this divide right now between people who see AI as a threat to their jobs and then see AI as a complement or benefit to their jobs. Talk to me a little bit about that.
I think the people that are seeing it as a threat are either very, they love their craft, I think. And I think that, you know, artists, and I think artists and illustrators are ones that are a little bit more hesitant to it, because it, you know, it feels like with it being able to, you know, take styles or steal styles, they feel like, you know, they learned and they spent all this time learning how to do this craft and how to make it so great. And I think that the time that someone spends to dedicate their whole life to becoming an illustrator, right? So someone that spent 30 years getting better and better and better and developing their style, like, that's going to feel like this thing is just able to just come and take it away from them. And so I can see that hesitancy and like feeling like this is coming for what I've worked my whole life for. However, I see it as, because while I'm not an illustrator, and I don't think this is just, you know, set for illustrators or, you know, designers, but I've spent my whole life developing my craft of design and design thinking and creative thinking and understanding of, you know, how things work and how people's minds work and all of it, because that's what design is. Graphic design is solving problems with visuals. That's all it is. It's problem solving and figuring out how we get from X, you know, X, A to Z or whatever. Whereas art is more of a personal a personal thing, and there isn't a reason for it. There isn't a problem to solve, right? And so there is good design and bad design. I think there's good art and bad art probably too, but I think that art is much more subjective, right? Design, it's like, did it solve the problem or not? In art, it's different. And so I feel like as someone that has spent so much time doing design, I still see it as a tool to make my designs better. And I think so much of AI is prompting, and the prompt has to come from a creative place. And so I think, you know, illustrators perhaps have spent so much time there. What they, you know, there's a difference between, you know, the creative vision that someone did. So say I drew a hand, and I drew a beautiful, the most fucking beautiful hand, detailed hand you've ever seen. Like, is that like creative, or is that a technical skill, right? Like you have technically mastered the art of shading and blending, the technique, whatever it is. And so that is a technical skill. And I think that is not something that can be replicated by AI. So I think that for artists, you know, I've got a friend who is an artist, and I've talked to her about, like, you know, selling your prints online and stuff. She's like, no, that's not what I want. Like, I want to like sell my originals. And it's like, and people want to buy originals. People want real art too. And so it's like, I think that there is a place for everyone at the table. Like, I think artists, if your craft is in your craft, and what you know, touching these products and things like that, like, that's your craft. And that's always going to be something that people are going to want. And I think that even with AI, like, it's going to get into this thing where it's like, that looks like AI. We know that that's AI. Like, and that's going to make real creative handmade art by real people even more valuable, probably. So it's like, we don't know what we don't know yet. And we have to just kind of roll with all of it. And understanding, you know, how it's going to affect everyone. People are going to lose jobs, yes. And generally, those jobs are going to be lower level, more production level stuff that can be replicated by AI right now. And so I think it scares people that are not in that creative, visionary place, because, yeah, it's going to come for your job. So what I would say is start learning that. Start learning how to be a good AI prompter, so that when your job does get taken, you can go somewhere else and say, hey, listen, I can do AI. I can help you in AI in this, this, and this way. And you've got new skills to be able to get a job that is more in sought after than what you were doing before, because now your skills are helping them make money in all these other ways. Like, it's just the evolution, like, it just keeps going. And I just think that's how it's been going. And we just have to like get on board, or like, we're going to be left behind. Then you're just going to be sitting there. Like, when photography came around, like, all of the oil painters weren't like, oh shit. I mean, they probably were actually, they were like, oh, shit. But, like, the photographer, but like the guy that invented the camera didn't care about them. He was like, I'm going to help people get pictures faster.
Yeah.
And then when digital came around, where we like, oh no, all of the people that are like, you know, processing film are going to be out of jobs. Like, did everyone care about them? No, because it's like, well, then now let's keep up and like learn the technology to be able to continue doing what you love, but in a way that is going to be what people, but there are still people that want film photography, you know, like, there's always going to be a want, and the people that are going to rise up in what their specific thing is. Like, if you want to stick to your niche of, if you want to stay doing print photography or film photography, then get really fucking good at it and have a point of view and have the creative vision. And people get mad about that, but it's like, that's what the whole point of this is like, you got to be creative if you want to stay ahead. Like, do you think that like the people that succeed are like not creative thinkers? Like, look at every business owner, they're going, you know, major brand visionary, they're creative thinkers. Like, that mm-hmm. is a huge piece of the pie, I think.
Yeah, they see it as an opportunity. Also, what's interesting too, what you're saying is you can have a vision, but it's almost like the way that you execute that vision is using creativity to come up with things like prompts versus just doing traditionally what you've done before. Like, I wonder if that's also the way that AI is heading too, where it's like you have to be really crafty and skilled in how you're prompting AI to get the best results. And it can still be in the vein of your creative. It can still be in your style, but you have to be able to articulate that in order to get the best outputs.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Like, but if you just, like, sometimes you can just put something in super simple a sentence and it'll spit something out great. And it's like, holy shit, this is, you just made that. But if you're trying to, like, get something specific, like, it takes work to, like, you know, go in there and, like, craft it in the right way. Use the correct words. Use the correct, like, seeding. And use, well, not probably not seeding in that case, but, like, text weight. So you can, like, weigh objects in the prompt. So if you said, like, I want to see a picture of myself as Superman on the cover of Vogue magazine, like, you can go in specifically and add, like, how much of this image do I really want to be the Vogue magazine, or how much do I really want it to be, like, I really want to look like Superwoman, like, and, like, really give it, like, specifications, and then really, like, give it a style, and then it'll spit out something, you'll be like, that's not what I wanted, and then you got to re-roll, and then you're like, oh, this is closer to what I wanted, okay, let me give it a little bit more specification. So you're literally curating it and choosing, because it'll give you four options and you got to choose from there. Okay, do I want to work with this? Do I want to work with this? Do I want to work with both of these? And I want to put it together and blend these images together. Like, so it is not just like push a button, here's an image. Yeah. And so it's like learning an entirely new program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think people don't really necessarily see it that way. I think they just see it as like this easy, like, give me this, it's there. And it's like, no, that's not how it fucking works, you guys. Like, it's a skill that you have to learn how to, like, get better at. And the better you get, the more sought after you're going to be. And it's like, if you can teach yourself how to, like, make really dope ass art, like, you can become, like, an artist that is, like, sought after, because you can create these really, really cool styles that are very custom to what someone wants.
Yeah.
And you can do it quick and you can make a lot of money doing it, because then you go in, and I'll teach you this in Basecamp, is how to update and upscale your images. Because when it pops it out to you, it's not, you know, you can't print that. It's just a PNG that's, you know, 1080 by 1080. But with AI technology, now we've got all this software that can up-res your images fucking huge. You know, you can go in there, sharpen it up, you can pull out the grain, and you've got these real crisp, clear images that someone could print on a canvas that they can, you know, pay $600 for to put in their home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, there's so many people now, there's so many opportunities that, and that's just one, that's one idea. And I think we look at the idea of, like, people's abilities and access to things, right? And, like, this, you know, in order to use Midjourney, it's going to be $30 a month.
Let's take a step back for a second. When you're talking about AI tools that you feel like are in your product suite right now as a designer, you'd probably say Midjourney is at the top of the heap. Give listeners just a quick overview of what Midjourney is and why it's so powerful.
So Midjourney is an AI model. There are other ones you may have heard of, like DALL-E or Stable Fusion. And basically what they've done is they have, like, crawled all of the images on the web and looked at them in little clusters of pixels and have learned what everything is, basically, what a polar bear is, what a rock is, what a shoe is. It knows what that is. And so in Midjourney, what you would do is you would go in and you would prompt this bot in Discord. So Discord is a chat community, and that is where Midjourney is hosted. And so you go into this, you log into your Discord and you go onto the Midjourney channel, and you, as someone that would just be starting, you would go into a newbie chat where it's just a bunch of other people that are new and are all just playing around. And so you would prompt it by saying slash imagine, and that's the prompt for it to imagine whatever it is that you want it to imagine. Whether that is a LaCroix can floating in space with angel wings, or whether that is a oil-painted Pablo Picasso-style poker table playing dog scene. Anything, literally anything you could imagine.
Yeah.
But, and so then it will pop out. It'll say, okay, hold on 1 minute. And it'll literally, you'll be able to see it as it's working, and it'll show you four different images kind of coming to life. And so what it's doing is it's literally building these new images that are nowhere to be found on the internet, that you, once you are a paying member, you own the rights to, I believe. I need to, you know, make sure of that, but I believe that is the case. And you are now the owner of this image, and you can use it on whatever you want and not have to worry about, you know, anyone coming for you because it's your image. And so you can create. And so once it creates these four different options for you, what you can do is you can choose, there's going to be like buttons, and you can choose to upscale one of them. So you can say, "Ooh, I like that." And it'll make it a little bit bigger, and it'll come up and it'll bring a little bit more detail into it. And then from there you can save it. But then if you didn't want to upscale any of them, if you're like, none of these are like what I wanted, you can re-roll, which just lets you, it'll just redo it and give you four completely new things still based on that same prompt. Or you can choose to create variations of one of the four options. And you can actually add additions to the prompt. So say one of them, you liked it, but you wanted it like more spacey, or you wanted it to be a different color, or you wanted something, you wanted to add stuff to it, you know, add a crown on her head. You could try and add to the prompt, and then it'll give you four new versions of that very varied prompt. And so from there, you can then continue to upscale, and there's like two different upscale versions that add additional grit and style to it. And so, yeah, from there, you can blend images. So you can take images, two different images that you find, and put them together, and it'll mash them into one image that is completely new.
So cool.
You can take, you know, URLs of images on the web for inspiration and put them in there, and then say, I want something completely different. So, you know, I've taken some images that I found of like really cool patterns from like a mural. Or I've even taken pictures of like a puzzle that I saw that someone threw out when I was on a walk with my dog, and like took that image and said, like, show me.
Oh, that's cool.
Look, show me luxury packaging. And so it'll like take concepts or whatever from that image and make it into a luxury packaging with this new image that you gave me. And so it's so cool how you can take pieces and bits of ideas and put them together and create whole new ideas and concepts.
Badass.
And yeah, dude, it's so cool. It's so, so cool. And then using that within your business. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
What are ways that entrepreneurs, outside of your class, which we'll get to in a second, what are ways that entrepreneurs can use Midjourney right now? So I'm thinking like they could probably use it for product photography, right? If they really wanted to upload a photo and then get product photography back, they could use it for, I don't know, what else? What else could, like, for listeners, like, what else could inspire them to use it in different ways or come up with different scenarios?
So I think stock photography is like a really great one that you said. I think you can be creating very specific, like, on-brand images that, you know, I think that's something that we miss a lot, is that like the idea of repetition, people seeing like the same things within your feed, like whenever they see your image or your in-feed post, they're able to like see something immediately and immediately think back, oh, that's this person. And so being able to like create something, some sort of specific way to be able to present your social posts or your reels or whatever, like maybe it's your reel covers or something, that you create some sort of style that you use. And then you can always just keep coming back to that style, keep recreating different variations of that background perhaps, or whatever. Or, you know, once maybe you've got this background created, but then it's like a holiday and you say, okay, I need it switched up to be, you know, Valentine's Day, and it'll give you a Valentine's Day version of like that same style. And so it's like, it's kind of like this personal, like graphic creator for you. So like, that's rather cool. than having to like rely on stock illustrations or whatever, you create your own style or hire someone that knows AI to like create their own style. And then, you know, they can continue to just update it for you. And it's custom. It's so custom to you rather than having it be something that someone else could buy. Stock photography too. I think that you could be using it. Like photographers can be using it to come up with ways to shoot, like different directional ideas, like creative direction. I think using it like within the photo industry is huge. Mm. You know, for product, like even product,
it could be like take the place of Photoshop, really.
Well, right. So that's what I've been doing is, you know, you create a really beautiful packaging. So first that'll help, like, so product, you know, product-based businesses, like using it to help you first come up with a vision, perhaps, rather than just going blind into somewhere to have someone create a product for you. You can kind of play around with this. And if you understand how to prompt, you can really give it like what that vision you're looking for. And then, you know, be able to say, here's what I think, like in this world, like can go to a product designer or a packaging designer and say, can we create something like this? Like
save so much time, like, oh my God, so much money.
Right. Right. And, you know, or it's literally like, yeah, like recreate this for me, please. Because that's the other thing is like, there are so many people that are like, okay, well, I'm just a production designer. And it's like, if you can come up with like what you want it to look like, perhaps, like maybe production designers can just cut, you've got one in your pocket that you just say, hey, like, okay, we've created this concept. Like, can you bang this out for us? Okay, cool. And then it's like, if you're a business that is like needing new packaging all the time, like if you've got a set version that it like creates and you can have it like recreate versions of that for you. I think that, you know, with styling, like for photographers or even if you're a product-based business and you need to get a photo shoot done.
Yeah, like I think of e-commerce, right? Like how expensive and time-intensive photo shoots are. If you could use AI to do a photo shoot, you could get it done within an hour, which is mind-blowing.
Yeah, because there's a couple ways you could do it. You could actually create the background, like create your scene and like have it printed on something and just have it behind your product and shoot in house and just have like, and then with depth of field and the way you're shooting, like it's already blurred out anyways in the real thing. So like I've seen photographers that are doing that with like, they're making it was a podcast I was listening to where it was like a food photographer, I think, and he was creating faux kitchens. Wow. And just setting them up on an LED screen behind. And he's like, we don't have to go find kitchens to shoot in. We don't have to do anything. We just set it up there. But then also you could even just like plan the set and the lighting and like the shot angles for photographers to be able to say like, hey, we want it to be like this really like heroic shot, or, you know, we want the lighting to be really epic coming up from the inside. Because that's what I used to do when I was at Ulta. Like when I was coming up with the art direction and this like for our stylist and our photographer for all of our social media content. And so I would have to go on Pinterest and say, okay, like, I like how like this shot is like these products falling, but I want to do that with mascara, but I like the lighting in this shot. And I like the way that it's staged on this like monochromatic stage in this shot. And so I'd have to take all of these things and try and like jimmy rig it all together to like look like this like weird collage thing. And then the stylist and the photographer are like, okay, I guess, like, okay. But now it's like I can literally like find the inspo images and then curate what I want it to look like. And it will hopefully, with enough finessing, get me to the vision that I want. And then I can say, this, let's do this. This is the shot, recreate it. And they say, okay.
It's badass. It like gives me chills, right? Even to like think about. I'm just, even this conversation, I hope people that are listening are like, all right, let's go, game time. Like, I hope they feel more confident about using it, because I know we've talked about earlier the ethics of it. And it's really about seeing it as an opportunist. Like, this is not going away. In fact, it's going to keep moving forward. So how can you actually use it to benefit you? And if I'm a business owner, I can think of a million and one ways that it can benefit me. So I think this is amazing. Talk to listeners about what you're pulling together, because it is going to be game changing, I think, for a lot of people.
For sure. And I want to preface that I do think that you do need to be able to have a creative eye to be able to work with this.
But that's subjective. Like, what does that mean, creative eye?
I think that's the curation piece. So as it's creating, as it's giving you these four images, for you to be able to pick the one that you know is the right image, right? Is the one that's going to draw the viewer in, that is going to. So, like, you know what I mean? You still have to have like an understanding of design, and because that's the other thing is, like, I haven't even gotten to this part, but like, you can go in there and I'm like using text. Like, I'm starting to figure out how to like manipulate it to actually like create logos.
Wow.
And like how to actually like manipulate it to create, like, it's creating like website designs. And that's the thing, is like, it can come up with a design, but like, is the UX of it right? No, probably not, right? So like, I don't know that I would be using it to create, like, web design, I don't think is in a place that like they need to be too worried about. But I think like designers are able to like use that quickly to like mock up a website for one of their brand clients that they can say, hey, look, oh my gosh, like, look how great the branding looks on this awesome website, where it's like you just threw it together, but like AI came up with the layout for you really quickly. But okay, so Basecamp. So what Basecamp is AI inside of BS, which is the Bemuse Studio. It's also the base camp for, you know, really wanting to get into AI, this place where we'll start, and it'll be a little bit of a community where we can come together and talk about, you know, what's happening in AI, how we're using it in our business. Because I think, like, if one person thinks of an idea and we can share it with each other, like, let's go. Like, I just think that there's so many possibilities, and I think that so many people are going to start coming up with new ways of using it. And I think knowledge is like just like sharing of knowledge. I'm very much a, like, please don't gatekeep. Like, let's not do that. Like, there's no reason to gatekeep. We are not each other's competition. We are all just trying to help each other grow. So like, let's just share all of the resources, community over competition. And I think that's what's so great about Midjourney too, is like, it's all public, is like, you can see everyone's work, you can see their prompts. So that's another way to like learn. And that's the thing, is like, I can go and see something that someone made that's so awesome and be like, copy prompt, paste, and then change the subject to be whatever I want it to be. And it's like, ooh, look at this style. And it's like, yeah, maybe people are going to think that that's like stealing, but like, it's all open, like, it's all meant to be like shared. So, and the name Midjourney, also to say, is like, it is the midpoint of the journey. Like, it's not meant to be like, this is the end. So like, you're starting with some stuff, and like, now you're here. And then now what are you going to do with that thing that you created here? Because like, it's generally not going to be like the end asset. So
I love it.
I think that's another piece. But yeah, so Basecamp, what it's going to be, I'm hoping, I'm still like really figuring out the nitty gritty of it all, but a kind of like a course where we'll go through kind of, you know, getting set up in Midjourney, which, you know, requires understanding of Discord and getting into Discord and learning about that. And then, you know, how we can use AI in our business, just kind of go over some case studies, and then get into, you know, the actual art of the prompt and how to prompt, and really, excuse me, getting into a bunch of different things, and you know, how we create consistency within some of our prompts, how we're able to, you know, create chaos in some of the prompts, how we're able to, you know, come back to the same things but make them different. So really getting into how to create the things that you're really trying to get after, and then how we can then use things in post after we've been in Midjourney, whether that's upscaling and learning how to use products that can do that for you to get it to be able to be resold, or to even, you know, selling on things like Creative Market, or you work for them. You know, you could start creating backgrounds, or even like Adobe Stock. You can just get on Adobe Stock right now, go sign up and start selling. Like, you're able to sell AI art on their platform. So there's just like so many ways. So we'll talk about like, what are all the ways that I could make money doing this just outside of my business? Or like if you're a designer, you know, or a marketer, and you've got, you know, templates or things like that, that you could potentially, I don't know how it would work with templates, but so I think that I just want to kind of help everyone see all of the benefits. I think we'll have, you know, there'll be a little bit of just using how to use it ethically, because I do think there's a lot, you know, there's a lot to do of, you know, the copyrights and the ethics of stealing work and the ethics of stealing jobs and, you know, all of it. So I think that, you know, I want to touch on that a little bit and make sure that we are talking about it. And I think that's the other side of Basecamp would be the Discord community that we would have, so that we'd be able to come and like, there'll be rooms to be able to talk about like news, what's happening in the AI world, for us to all share our work. I've also already created an Instagram account called Made by Basecamp, so we can start sharing, you know, people's work on there. So, you know, if we can get this to grow, and, you know, people's work can be featured on there, and they can start, you know, getting some, hopefully some more people looking at their work too. And then, you know, being able to just share resources and like how we're all using it. And so I think that that's kind of the goal. I'm hoping to have something live, you know, by the end of, hopefully mid to end of February. So there's a link that I'll give you, but it's also in my Instagram. There's a highlight for Basecamp that you can go into.
And your Instagram is?
The Bemused Studio.
If you were to sum up, like give a quick one sentence piece of advice for entrepreneurs when it comes to design and AI, what would you say?
I would say don't be afraid of it. I think that technology is always going to be evolving, and I don't think it's going anywhere. And I think by, you know, being scared or deterred by, you know, what some people are saying about how it works, I think just do your own, you know, research, do your own due diligence, sign up for my newsletter. I'm going to send, you know, I'm going to be giving you information on what's going on. So even if you're like, I'm not sure I'm into it yet, like just start learning more about it. It's very new, you guys. And the things all around it are going to be changing. People's opinions on it are going to be changing. So just, I would say, open your mind to it at least. And if you are interested in it, for sure, you know, like dive in, because I think that it's only going to benefit you now. And, you know, there's no point in being behind, like be ahead. And if you can have on your resume, like that you understand how to use ChatGPT and you understand how to use Midjourney AI, like people are going to be like, oh, okay, this person, let's talk to this person. Like you got to evolve your skills. And this is just adding to your arsenal. So that's what I would say. Don't be scared of it. Just embrace it. Embrace the robots, people.
Embrace the robot, people. Embrace it. Lauren, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I hope you learned something new about utilizing AI in your business or what AI can do for you. There are still ethical concerns, and AI is evolving every single day. So this conversation is not a set in stone, do this, don't do this. It's evolving as we speak. So things are going to continue to change. But I think Lauren's point about staying ahead of the curve and using it to your advantage is really valuable across multiple different industries. I will include the link to Midjourney in the show notes. I will also make sure to include a link for Lauren's Basecamp in the show notes. I think it would be a huge miss for you to not join it personally, just based on this conversation, because I think you'll learn so much. And I just think it's really cool what Lauren's doing in the space to push this industry forward and to push graphic designers forward into this new mindset, really. Anyway, thank you so much for being here. Thanks for being a listener. And I will see you guys next week.